And welcome to Equilibrium on CKUT 90.3 FM. So we're going to start the show soon, but we'll start with some music here on Equilibrium on CKUT 90.3 FM. And we've got a great show for you today, and we'll let you know who is our guest on the show from Age of Union really soon. So, but here first is some music from Stevie Wonder. So stay tuned for today's show.
She's a girl in a dream. She sees a four-eyed cartoon monster on the TV screen. She takes another puff and says it's a crazy scene. The red is green. She's a tangerine. I'm too high, too high, but I ain't left the ground. I'm too high, I'm too high, I'm hoping never ever come down. She's a girl in her life, but her world's a superficial paradise. She had a chance to make it big more than once or twice, but no dice, she wasn't very nice. Did you even love her? They said she's too high, too high. We gave him
welcome to Equilibrium on CKUT 90.3 FM. That was the song Too High from the Stevie Wonder album Inner Visions, which I think came from the early 1970s. 1973, I think, is when it was released. And so always fun to start a show with some Stevie Wonder. This is Equilibrium, an environmental radio show, basically covering environmental issues in the local scene here in Montreal, but also province-wide, nationwide, and even from a global perspective. And we have a great guest in the studio with us today, and she's from Age of Union. She's actually their social media manager and part of their team here, not necessarily in Montreal, but part of their team. And they are kind of pretty much based in Montreal with the Age of Union Earth Center. And the Earth Center has a new vernissage coming up this Friday. So we're going to be talking about that and about just her work. And so it's great to have you here on the show, Cara.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you. Yeah. So I guess for people who don't know about Age of Union, can you describe Age of Union a little bit?
Yeah, so Age of Union is a nonprofit environmental alliance. So we are focused on funding boots-on-the-ground environmental initiatives across the globe. We also have an Earth Center in Montreal. So the Age of Union Center is close to Marché Jean Talon, but that's also focused on conservation and ecological artwork. So we have lots of immersive installations, interactive installations by lots of local artists, indigenous artists, and artists from across the world. So it's really exciting to be able to approach conservation, not only from funding these boots on the ground initiatives all across the globe, but also having a space in Canada, in Montreal, where our company was founded by our founder, Dax Da Silva, to really share conservation via art and media with our community in Montreal.
It is a great marriage, I think, art and the environment, you know?
Absolutely. I think it's a very natural one. There's a lot of connection with spirituality and art, spirituality and environment, and I think that's something for us that's really a natural segue between the two in a way that we find is a really impactful way to reach people.
Mm. And some of these immersive environments that I've been to at the Earth Center that are really cool, are some of those, they're going to stay there? Like with this new vernissage, what actually changes at the center? I mean, some of the stuff that's been there will stay there, right?
Absolutely, exactly. So we do have some permanent installations that are going to be there for the foreseeable future, and everyone is welcome to come see those. And we're also unveiling some new installations. So we actually have three new environmental exhibitions that we'll be unveiling this Friday. The first one is called Focused on Nature, and it's by Prince Hussein Aga Khan. So he actually has a passion for wildlife photography, and especially the ocean. So he'll be showcasing a lot of his ocean wildlife photography and telling stories around that. We also will be showcasing Looking to the Future by Catherine Takpani, and that's also curated by Adrian Stimson. So Catherine is an Inuk artist. She's based in Ottawa. But she is focused on recognizing the value of indigenous knowledge systems as a path to an ecologically balanced future. So her exhibition, Looking to the Future, will be an exploration of that. We're also really excited for another installation that'll be an immersive experience called Là où se pose la lumière by Melanie O'Bomsawin. This is also a collaboration with MAP Montreal, which is based in Montreal as well. So this will be an immersive installation at the center as well. well, which will be exploring questions of identity, tradition, memory, and knowledge through human relationships. So we're really, really excited to share these new exhibitions with our community. And we are really looking forward to seeing everyone there on Friday as well.
That's great. That's wonderful. And so your job as a social media manager, obviously you're taking care of that side of things, which is a big part of getting the word out and a big part of Age of Union in general. But is it fun to sort of, discover all these things and then, learn about them so that you can write about them on social media and stuff? And
yeah, absolutely. Well, for a little background on me, I actually did my degree in environmental science at Queen's University. So I actually have a Bachelor of Science. And although I'm working in marketing, social media right now, it's been such a pleasure to link the two and really take my background knowledge and my expertise in the area of environmentalism, environmental science, and translate that into social media content and media in a way that I can help explain these concepts and these issues and these problems and help tell the stories of individuals who are on the ground doing conservation work, really important conservation work all around the globe. And I think that what I love about working at Age of Union as a social media manager is getting to take that information and package it up in a way that is digestible and interesting, and that tells the full story and doesn't water it down, but also that tells the story in a way that isn't necessarily always a doomsday, doom and gloom. I know a lot of environmental, social media, environmental organizations are really focused on that shock factor. And although that does work a lot, I think that the approach that I really enjoy taking to conservation and environmentalism with Age of Union is making environmentalism something that's approachable, entertaining, understandable, not just educational and not just something that is meant to scare us, but something that interests people and makes them feel connected. And I'm really hoping that that's what will help inspire people to take action and really help us shift this paradigm of really like moving forward into this decade of action, as our founder Dax Da Silva likes to say. So that's really why I think I was passionate about working in social media and doing this with Age of Union.
I have to agree myself. I find that people just shut off or shut down when you really play the doom and gloom, I mean, I have to admit that the doom and gloom that I was exposed to when I was younger kind of triggered me into action. But the only reason why I stayed involved as an environmental activist was because I found more positive outlets or more positive expressions of what I was interested in. And I really felt to try and change the culture of the world or your community, you can't just do the doom and gloom. You've got to make it positive for people and show them that their positive actions can result in positive outcomes.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that I don't want to water things down or the reality of the world, and there are very real issues and the doom and gloom is still there. But when you think about social media specifically, which is often a lot of people's first touch point with a concept or a brand or an organization, when you're scrolling through social media, there are a lot of people who aren't going to want to watch a depressing or upsetting video or read a post if they feel that it's something that's not interesting to them. So I think that that's why it was important for me to take a different approach than what I'd been seeing in a lot of environmental organizations online and on social media, by really leaning into the education and the entertainment that can come along with environmentalism and conservation. And another pillar I think is really important that we focus on too is really telling the stories of the individuals who are on the ground working with our 10 partner projects around the world. So we have global global projects in Indonesia and in Trinidad and in the Peruvian Amazon and other is in Canada as well and everywhere in between. And I think that another way that we really like to connect with our audience and connect with new communities and new people is telling the stories and highlighting the people who are on the ground working hard every day to make change and inspire change and really uplift those global change makers. So I think that's another way that can also help people who may not already be interested in learning about environmentalism or conservation or climate change, help them connect to these topics and these concepts.
Absolutely. And so in terms of your formative years or whatever, you grew up in the Maritimes. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Absolutely, yeah. So I grew up in Halifax, Nova Scotia, just outside the city. I actually grew up on a lake and kind of a nature environment. So I just remember in my childhood, my brother and I would go outside and wander through the forest and play in the river and go swimming in the lake with our friends. And I think that that was really the basis and the foundation of why I'm so passionate about conservation and environmentalism now. I also ended up leaving Nova Scotia when I was 14 to go to a boarding school in Ontario on ice hockey scholarship, which is another story, but one of
What position did you play?
Defense. Now I'm defending the planet. But yeah, so one of the really amazing opportunities I had there as well was a comprehensive environmental outdoor education program where I went camping every year and I learned so much about nature and Leave No Trace and the environment, and I got involved with an environmental club in high school. I was the president of our environmental club and the rest is history. So I went to university. I ended up volunteering a lot there with various organizations, conservation organizations, and pursuing my degree in environmental science.
And was that Dalhousie?
No. That was actually at Queens.
Right. You told me that in Kingston.
Yeah. So that's kind of the story of how I found environmentalism. And it's amazing to feel that alignment again. I've been with Age of Union for just over 6 months. And feeling that alignment with my values and my passions and being able to show up at work every day and help contribute to that and help feel like I'm making an actual difference. It's been absolutely incredible.
Mm. Do you know the Sleepless Goat?
No,
the
I don't.
The cafe or Tara's Natural Foods? No.
Oh, I do know Tara's.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, that's it. Classic.
I love it.
Yeah. I guess my next question is, with Age of Union, you know, on the website, there's a whole team of you, and I think you've told me this before, but you know, it's an interesting team. It's great to exchange with your coworkers, and how has that been?
It's been absolutely amazing. I love being in an organization, in an environment, and we're still a small company. We're still like around 10 people, but everyone is so aligned with our mission and everyone is so on board. And we all come from very diverse backgrounds and different backgrounds. We all have various degrees, and some of us have editorial and nonprofit experience. I actually come from the tech world, so I was working in tech before this, and I'm really taking that experience and bringing that to Age of Union. We're really we're being run by a startup by our founder Doug Silva, who also founded Lightspeed, which is a Montreal-based company. So it's really exciting for all of us to be able to bring our diverse areas of expertise and really work together to have those bring those diverse perspectives together to make a difference. I think that that's something that's really valuable, is having those different perspectives. So it's not just like a siloed kind of echo chamber. We all come from very different backgrounds, and that's something I think when it comes to environmentalism and conservation, it's extremely, extremely important.
For sure. And out of the experiences that you've had so far working with Age of Union, maybe traveling somewhere or meeting somebody or finding out about an issue, what's one that comes to mind that was really cool for you? Or
I think I would have to say that I actually visited one of our partner projects in Quebec, Canuck Institute. So that's up around in Montebello, Quebec, kind of between Montreal and Ottawa. So anyway, I had the opportunity this summer with our team to go up there, and we were working on filming something. I can't give away too many details, but stay tuned. But yeah, we're working on a really exciting project with our partners up at Canuck, and that experience really, really shifted my perspective on what work could be for me. I woke up every day, I jumped into the lake, and I was just one with nature there. But it was an experience that was really life-changing for me, honestly, because as an adult, it brought me back into nature, and that same nature that I talked about growing up in Nova Scotia and being outside camping in high school. Being back in that environment just really solidified that I am so aligned with my purpose and my mission, like in my life, just not just in my career, but really what gives me purpose and what makes me want to get out of bed at the end of the day, or at the beginning of the day, sorry. Yeah, so I think that our recent partner visit was really, 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 like, life-changing for me, honestly. It was amazing to just see these dedicated individuals in Canuck on the ground doing their research, working to incite change, and I feel so connected to the organization and to our mission since that.
That's great. And you mentioned film. Obviously, I have noticed that a lot of times Age of Union has a film made about a particular issue that they're involved in or a particular project that they're funding. And it seems to me that medium of video or film is very important. So what's the side of that like for you as well?
Yeah, so we have released a few documentary films. I'm actually going to quickly shout out, we just premiered The Corridor, our new film in partnership with Forest Health Alliance and Strong Roots Congo. So they're working on the ground in Congo to help preserve the Congo Basin rainforest. Anyway, yeah, we just had that film premiere a couple weeks ago in Toronto. And that is just one of the many films we've released. But I think that with us, our use of documentary film and our use of media is another way that I think we're able to, you know, go tell the stories of the people who are on the ground and the people who are really, like, working in these organizations across the planet, whether it's in Congo, whether it's on the Sea Shepherd ship in the Caught documentary, whether it's in the individuals we profiled in We Are St. Lawrence, which profiled one of our projects up in along the St. Lawrence River, where we're working to conserve land. So reeling that all in, I think that we are really focused on using documentary films specifically as a medium of communicating these conservation issues and really showing people what's going on around the world, showing who are on the ground, who are the rangers, who are the individuals who are driving these changes, and, you know, diving into some more of the details as well. Like, there are other, you know, what are the geopolitical issues happening, and what are the other factors contributing to maybe a loss of biodiversity in a certain region, or the reasons why we would need to be there focused on biodiversity around the globe. So documentary film, I think, is just such a powerful way to show what these incredible organizations are doing across the planet, and really connect with people in a way that's entertaining to them, and in a way that that they can also maybe connect with as well. So that's, I think, why we're really focused on that at Age of Union.
Nice. And you know, Instagram, I've been an Instagram user for a while because I'm into photography, but Instagram has really almost transitioned from a photography medium to a video medium.
Yes.
And when you kind of scroll, you almost every fourth video is every fourth post is a video. I mean, people still post photos for sure. But I'm curious, you know, because you are a social media manager, what has it been like following the latest trends? And do you Do you take workshops to find out about how, you know, this medium is going to do this, or to learn how to use this medium better? Or
I love a good social media strategy question. This is another area I love to nerd out about. So,
that's it. I want to nerd out. So
absolutely. Yeah. Well, I mean, I was just talking about documentary films. So strategically for us, we already have a lot of video that we can use, which is awesome in terms of where the social media trends are going. Personally, I find that I stay up to date online with lots of newsletters, LinkedIn research, keeping up with the social media news, and then to figure out best practices and learn from others. I think a lot of it is also in terms of social media strategy. It's really internal. It's really looking at your own content, going through the analytics, looking at the data, and being able to kind of make those connections on why we think certain posts are performing well. So, yes.
And you're able to look at the analytics. Yes. Analytics how? By having us.
We have software on the back end.
And you pay for a certain.
Does that cost
extra? So you get all kinds of data, right?
Exactly, yeah. So it's really interesting to be able to cross-examine, you know, why would a video about one partner do better than a video about an animal, or a video about an event or something else going on. So a lot of that goes down to the analytics. I will say, yes, as a social media manager, video is definitely king right now. I think that TikTok is something that hopefully is on our radar soon as well. TikTok is huge, and I think that's really, really influenced a lot of the other platforms in their video as well. We're seeing that catching up a lot on LinkedIn. Video has been huge.
Even on LinkedIn?
Yes, even on LinkedIn. Yeah.
So it's becoming.
Don't sleep on LinkedIn.
Because I always sort of view LinkedIn as like this place you put your business info and your networking info and your, you know, your CV and everything, and you stick that there, and then you never go there. You know, like that's how I kind of picture LinkedIn. But it is becoming a place where people go for like a news feed almost. Am I right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think personally, my opinion for LinkedIn is that post-pandemic, when there's not as many people in the office, like it's kind of our virtual water cooler, like a virtual a networking space. You're not running into people in the lobby of the office anymore, so you're connecting with people on LinkedIn, and I'm personally a huge fan. I love LinkedIn, but yeah, I think it's a great space to leverage, and there's not too much fluff in there yet, but we will see.
Right, because you have to take into account that some of these platforms have a lot of fluff.
There's a lot of fluff and a lot of bots, like on TikTok and Instagram. But yeah, I think that there's people use platforms for different things in different ways. And the way that I would post or our brand would post on LinkedIn is different than the way we would post on Instagram. Because our audience on Instagram is different, and Instagram is also more of a brand forward platform, whereas LinkedIn is a little bit more of a corporate brand platform and show an employer brand platform, kind of a social media for your business. So yeah, I think it's interesting to approach different platforms in different ways and really bringing in those analytics while also focusing on intuition and your gut. There's nothing worse than being a social media manager and you have an awesome post and it flops, but then sometimes there's posts that I'm like, okay, we're going to get that out, and it ends up popping off. So yeah, I would say for social media, it's great to get into data, get into analytics, but don't get too tied up into it as well. And don't be afraid to be a little bit reactionary and jump on a trend if it works for your brand, or post about an event or something that popped up. I think that there's no cut and dry formula for social media, especially because each brand is so different. But I really do think that it's a very delicate balance between data and then, you know, just knowledge and intuition as a creative and as a social media manager. So, yeah, I've been leveraging that a lot with Age of Union too, going from being in the tech space to marketing a nonprofit. That's been a really interesting experiment as well. So, yeah, I think it's really exciting though.
Nice. So it's 11:29. So maybe we'll take a little break for music and maybe some messages, and we'll be back to talk to Cara Lowry Moore. who is the social media manager and part of the team of Age of Union. And Age of Union is a philanthropy organization funding all kinds of environmental projects, not only here in Quebec and in BC, but all over the world in places like the Congo, evidenced by their recent documentary screening in Toronto. So stay with us here on Equilibrium, because we're going to talk about lots more interesting stuff. So I'm going to play some music here. Maybe we'll play House of the Rising Sun by Idris Muhammad from the album House of the Rising Sun. So enjoy that, and we'll be back here on Equilibrium on CKUT 90.3 FM. Thank you.
Pop Montreal International Music Festival is back for its 22nd edition from September 27th to October 1st, 2023. 5 days of music, film, art, panels, crafts, kids' activities, and more. Don't miss Candy Satin, Bonnie Prince Billy, Dr. Cornel West, Leith Ross, Jungle Pussy, Bahamadia, Shabazz Palaces, Tangerine Dream, Bell Orchestra, Lorraine James, Kate NV, Islands, Lila Aiki, Hand Habits, and many more. Tickets and discovery passes on sale at popmontreal.com.
La saison du VR, des décapotables et de la moto au Québec, ça passe en un claquement de doigts. Profitez de l'été jusqu'au dernier moment en remisant votre véhicule saisonnier en ligne avec SACLIC. Vous pouvez même planifier dès maintenant la date de votre remisage afin de profiter de votre véhicule sans aucun souci, quitte à la modifier si vous changez d'idée. Évitez de vous rendre dans un point de service. Pour faire son remisage comme ça, le chemin le plus court, c'est SACLIC. Un message de la Société de l'assurance automobile du Québec.
Hi, I'm David Suzuki, and you're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Information to grow the brain.
And we're back. You are listening to Equilibrium on CKUT 90.3 FM. And we're here with Kara Lowry. And Kara Lowry is the social media manager with Age of Union. Age of Union is a philanthropy organization specializing in funding environmental projects, especially conservation projects in Canada and around the world. And they have this amazing center called the Earth Center, which I think soon may be called the Age of Union Center. Yes. And it's near Jean Talon Market. And they have a vernissage, a new show coming up this coming Friday is opening. And we've been hearing a little bit about it. And Kara, you were saying as well that that there's going to be some new hours for the center.
Yes, absolutely. So starting on October 6th, the Age of Union Center will actually be open on Fridays and Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. And so that address is 7049 Rue Saint-Urbain in Little Italy. So that's super exciting. There will be some admission fees. So adults will be $10, $8 for students and 65 plus. However, children are going to be free. It will also be free entry with the Musée Montréal card, and the first Saturday of the month will also be free. So there are going to be some free opportunities peppered in to go and enjoy our environmental installations if that's something that you're interested in doing. And yeah, we're really, really excited for these opening hours. Stay tuned for our social media and our website for more information on that. But that is starting on October 6th. So we're super excited to have the center open more so more community members can enjoy that.
Nice, nice, excellent. And this vernissage, there's a bunch of different artists. Typically, vernissages in the past, I guess, you know, it's some refreshments and you look at the artists. The artists are there. They talk about their work. Right.
Yeah, exactly. So our vernissage is going to be from 6 to 10 p.m. So we will have some opening remarks from our founder, Dax Da Silva, at 7 p.m., followed by some insight shared with our audience from curator Adrian Stimson, as well as our featured artists, Catherine Tekpani and Melanie Obomsawin. So there will be an opportunity to hear from the artists who are behind these exhibitions and get kind of a behind-the-scenes insight directly from these artists on the motivation and really what went into these exhibitions. So I think that's going to be really cool. It is actually free entry. So I will emphasize this Friday, the vernissage, it will be free entry. And there's also a DJ. There is a cash bar. So it's a really fun vibe. It's a lot of fun. I also, one of my favorite things about our events is networking with other environmentalists. That's actually how we met, Ryan. So yeah, I would really, really encourage anyone who's interested to come out, even if you're coming alone. alone. There's lots of people that come alone and you end up meeting other people who have a shared interest. So yeah, it's going to be really, really, a really good time. And I'm really looking forward to it. So I hope to see everyone there.
Absolutely. I plan to go. And I was going to ask, I wonder if that woman or that artist, Melanie Obomsawin, is related to Alanis Obomsawin, the famous documentary filmmaker. But you probably don't know.
Yeah. I actually don't know. That's okay. A great question. Yeah. I'll have to look into that.
There's not too many people with that last name. And she's a very famous documentary filmmaker with the National Film Board of Canada.
It's a great catch.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess what's on the horizon for your work with Age of Union in the next little while?
Absolutely. This is a super exciting question. So I think one of the things that we're focused on is really our 10 projects and amplifying those 10 projects. I've already spoken about a few of them, but we have two partner projects in Canada. We're partnered with the Nature Conservancy of Canada to help protect Canuck and some areas in the St. Lawrence, as well as BC Parks Foundation. And we're protecting French Creek Estuary on Vancouver Island, as well as the Pitt River watershed in British Columbia, too. So, those are just two of our local partners. We also have Jungle Keepers in Peru. We have Nature Seekers in Trinidad. We have Kalawait in Indonesia, Canpe in Haiti, Forest Health Alliance in Congo, as I mentioned earlier. And we also have Sea Shepherd Global. So they're a global organization focused on ocean conservation. And what I'm really focused on is telling the stories of these projects, as I mentioned earlier, diving deeper and being able to share what these boots on the ground initiatives are doing and share about the progress that they're making as well. And I think that doing that through documentary film, doing that through social media storytelling and editorial storytelling on our website is something that we are really, really focused on, as well as also amplifying the messages of the artists and the exhibitions that we have at the Age of Union Center right here in Montreal. And so coming up for us at Age of Union, we're really just focused on getting the word out there. You know, for me, I'm trying to get people's eyeballs on our brand and get people interested in a way that makes them want to be engaged and want to be involved, and really help connect them with our 10 partner projects, as well as the Earth Center, as well as some of our other projects that we're partnered with as well. So that's really, I think, the focus for us right now moving forward.
And I really like, you know, I think there was a recent post where Dax Da Silva was talking with an Indigenous activist. I think it was on Haida Gwaii.
Yes.
There was an interview that he was doing. You know?
Absolutely, yeah. So we are also, they're not officially one of our partner projects, but we are partnered with and are financially supporting Stand.Earth. So they are an organization, a nonprofit, that is focused on ending and exposing really old growth logging in British Columbia as one of their main missions. And they're doing that using a forest eye tool. So to break it down in very layman terms, they have technology, satellite technology that they use that tells them when illegal logging activities are happening in British Columbia, especially in old growth forest areas that are at risk. And those are so, so important, such important ecosystems that we're trying to protect. And anyway, this forest eye tool is able to identify when this illegal old growth logging is happening, and it sends alerts out to people who sign up and follow them on X, on Twitter. So this is another a way that I think is really cheeky, that we're exposing these companies and these illegal activities that think that they can get away with this because they're in, you know, a remote area in British Columbia where not a lot of people are around to see what's going on. So this is one way that we're really trying to work with Stand.Earth and that forest eye tool to connect with our audiences and show that this stuff is still going on, even if there may be laws against it or there may be people saying that it's not. Like, this is happening and we need to expose it, and we all together as a community need to leverage the power of social media and what we have, the capabilities we have now to connect with people and to put pressure on governments and, you know, public pressure on governments, public to, you know, change policy and put pressure on businesses and organizations to shift those practices. So that's one of the projects actually too that we've been working on in British Columbia, and it's something I know that is really near and dear to our founder Daxis Silva's heart. I know he grew up in BC, so that's also been a really interesting initiative that we've been working on as well with Stand on Earth.
Well, I really like the way he just, you know, presents the person in that interview and then lets them speak, you know. So often we don't hear words from the local Indigenous activists that have been fighting these forests being cut down for, you know, for decades. And it's nice to see. You know, it's not something that I've seen a lot of other environmental groups do necessarily. Normally, they want to control the message, and, you know, they don't necessarily feature somebody like that and just let them talk. You know?
Absolutely, yeah. I really, I admire that about Dax as well. I think that the video that we're referring to, he's giving the stage to Indigenous local who knows what's going on. And I think that that's also, you know, zooming out at Age of Union on a little bit of a broader scale, I think that's also something that we are very committed to. Like I've mentioned a few times, you know, not just telling the stories of the individuals on the ground, but allowing them and giving them the space and the platform to tell their own stories, as well as, you know, in that same vein, really empowering those individuals to help protect their own communities instead of us coming in from the outside or coming in from, you know, North America and going to other partner projects around the globe and trying to do, you know, hire people from North America to do that. Like, we are really focused on empowering the individuals who are really on the ground and who are really part of these communities to help protect their own communities, their own land, their homes. And so I think that, yeah, that video that you're referencing, go check out at Dax Da Silva on Instagram or at Age of Union if you'd like to check that out. We just shared that today. But that's just one example, I think, of, you know, the importance of amplifying the voices.
And it's not the first time. I think he did that with another person like a month ago as well, you know.
Yeah, I think there are a couple.
Yeah.
There are a couple there if on Dax's profile there. So he did go up to Haida Gwaii and he filmed a few of those. So I would definitely recommend checking those out too. There's a lot of really, really great insights about what's going on there. And absolutely.
And that whole issue with forestry companies doing all these things when it's far from the media's eyes, it really is the what I think it's their regular approach to things. I know that it happens here in the Quebec forest industry as well. Many Indigenous people have videoed logging going on in areas that they weren't supposed to be logging, and the government does not employ employees to keep an eye on this thing, you know. They do not. Usually, in fact, governments cut the budgets of those kinds of departments until they're practically a handful of staff that cannot keep an eye on what's going on in the whole province in terms of the forestry industry. That's the really sad thing, I think, about governments, is that they often create this illusion that they're out there on the ground making sure that the rules are followed. But they may spend more money in other areas. And when it comes to something like the natural resources, because, you know, they benefit from the money that comes from whatever taxing or the fees that these companies pay, or they want those companies there because they're creating jobs for people in those areas or whatever the case is. But it really is a total tragedy what's really been going on. And in a way, I think it's only through the common citizens or groups like nonprofits that can suddenly harness technology to keep an eye on these things and alert people to when they're happening.
Absolutely.
It's, you know, like a great example would be, you know, the OCA crisis here in Montreal, the Montreal area, where there was an armed standoff in an Indigenous community, and it was over, you know, whether or not this town was going to cut down all these trees and expand their 9-hole golf course to an 18-hole golf course. And they were going to do it, including onto the cemetery of the Mohawk people in Gonestogue. It was like insane proposition. And it turned into a national, even international media frenzy when it went down, you know. But it was partly because it was so close to a major metropolis that had, you know, an army of media, you know, English media, French media, because you have both in Montreal. And, you know, if something like that goes on in some very remote part of the world where it's very hard for journalists to travel there, and, you know, then it's just not going to get the same coverage. It's not going to, the world is not going to find out about it, you know?
Absolutely. I think that's the key point, and that's such a common theme, and it's happening not only in Canada, as you highlighted here in Quebec, and as I've just mentioned too, in British Columbia and what we're doing with Stand on Earth, but these are issues that are pervasive globally, and these are issues that we've also seen with some of our other partner projects. So with Jungle Keepers, for example, so Jungle Keepers is one of our partner projects based in Peru, in the Peruvian Amazon, and they have a team of fantastic rangers who are able to perform different types of research and patrolling the area and really protecting the Las Piedras region in Peru. So I think something that's really interesting is that one of the big issues was that these logging companies were coming into the Amazon, and whether it was legal or not, like, they are employing people and they're illegally logging. But when you look at it through the lens of a lot of these families were employed by logging companies, and they're really trying to put food on the table and survive and feed their families. And that was the way that they were able to do that. And I think what's really special about Jungle Keepers' approach is they've actually went in and converted a lot of these workers who are working for these logging companies into rangers, where they can now make a living protecting their home instead of, you know, contributing to logging. And I mean, I think as well, this is an example of how, you know, a lot of times environmental issues and conservation issues, they're not black and white. They're very complex. It has to do with, you know, like I said, geopolitical issues and Indigenous communities and what are their, what's the best thing for them. So I think that kind of coming back to it, it is so important to put pressure on the government. And when it comes to media pressure, that's often inspired by, you know, us nonprofit organizations who are raising awareness and trying to generate momentum and generate media attention on these types of things. And this is something that's, it's really pervasive globally. And I think with Age of Union, it's really special that we can kind of take that approach and of, you know, maybe finding ways to convert people to the other side if there's reasons why this is happening. So, I think that that's something that we're...
And fulfilling a needed role or you know, trying to fill what has become a vacuum or whatever, where just like Sea Shepherd is in many ways filling this role that governments should have played, which is patrolling the oceans for poaching and, you know, trying to regulate overfishing. The governments of the world don't spend money on that. They don't bother. It's the Wild West, and Sea Shepherd has come in and played that role and then eventually ended up even being hired by governments to do the work of the Navy or the Coast Guard, because it seems like Sea Shepherd does a better job than these countries' actual governmental bodies that are supposed to be enforcing these regulations, you know?
It's funny how that works, isn't it? But I think it, again, goes to show the importance of these nonprofit organizations and charities and really these initiatives that are not necessarily involved in the government, because we really do need to put that pressure on the government to take action and whether it's putting policy in place or, you know, protecting certain land. I think that that's something that us as a community and as citizens have a responsibility to advocate for.
And it sets the example, right? You know,
absolutely.
And then a government can follow the example, or, you know, the public can say, well, this is a great example, and this is what should be, you know, being
absolutely.
Done all the time.
Yeah. And these issues affect us all. That's it.
So we've got about, I guess, less than 5 minutes left. So maybe we should start to wrap things up. And I guess we should give the website. And the website, obviously, is ageofunion.com.
Yeah. So feel free to find us at ageofunion.com. We're at Age of Union across all social media platforms. We're particularly active on Instagram, so come check us out there. And yeah, you can come visit the Age of Union Center at 7049 Rue Saint-Urbaine. Again, our vernissage is this Friday, September 29th from 6 to 10 p.m. Totally free. So yeah, we really hope to see everyone there. And thank you so, so much for having me, Ryan. It's been an absolute pleasure.
It's been my pleasure as well. So that's it, folks, here on Equilibrium on CKUT 90.3 FM. Once again, the Age of Union website is ageofunion.com, and we've been talking to Kara Lowry, who is their social media manager, and the vernissage is this coming Friday, as she said. So stay tuned for that. Or put that on your schedule. My name is Ryan Young, and we're basically out of time here on the show, so we'll give you our email address, which is equilibrium@ckut.ca. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/EquilibriumCKUT Montreal. We have an affiliated podcast on Spotify called the Equilibrium Radio Podcast. And we have a little website with some links to some old interviews, which is a Weebly site. I think it's called, equilibrium.weebly.com. And always check out ckut.ca for listening to past shows. Every show is archived, and there's lots of great content on the station in general. So thanks for listening, and I guess we're going to leave you with some music. And the music I'm going to select now, I'm going to go check out what I've got here. And what should we play? Charles Bradley is this soul artist. I heard about him from Strombo there, George, who has his own podcast and so on. He's like a modern day soul artist, and he covered a tune by Black Sabbath, which is unusual, a tune called Changes. So the original, of course, Ozzy Osbourne is singing it, but this is Charles Bradley's version, and it's very good and different. Doesn't sound all that much like the Black Sabbath version. So here is Changes by Charles Bradley.
So sad.